Well, for me, this is a remarkable encounter, and it takes place just after the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, it's the afternoon of Easter Day, and it's one of a couple of post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. The women and the disciples have discovered the empty tomb. And it's very clear that these two disciples, Cleopas, and it's probably thought that it's his wife as well on the road to him, it's very clear that these two disciples, as they are walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, don't know what to make of it all. There's a sense of disorientation and disappointment, especially as we are told that their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus as he joined them on the road. And so Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explains what is said in the whole of Scripture concerning himself. Then they urge him, rather than him continuing on the road, they urge him to come into their home. And it is as he breaks the bread, we're told that their eyes are opened and they recognize him before he disappears from their sight. Actually, on this Emmaus road, what these disciples needed was an experience of the living God. But I wonder why their eyes were initially kept from recognizing Jesus. Well, I wonder, first of all, whether they didn't have any expectation of the resurrection. It didn't even cross their minds, despite all that Jesus had told them before he died. It didn't even cross their minds that maybe Jesus was alive or certainly would not be joining them on the road. If we look back before Jesus died, as he talked about his death and resurrection to the other disciples, there's that same sense of puzzlement and not being able to grasp the concept of a suffering Messiah and Jesus's prophecy of his death and resurrection. Maybe it was something to do with their worldview, how we see or fail to see things happening and around us. It's really easy for our worldview to become part of what the prevailing culture around us. The culture in which we live is so pervasive that we often kind of fail to recognize its influence. Somebody said we no more notice the worldview of our culture than a goldfish notices the water it's swimming in. In other words, the culture is there, but often we fail to recognize the impact that it has on it and the way that it shapes us. Sometimes worldviews can be illuminating, but often it blocks the truth within our eyes and to the things of God. So Jesus takes them to Scripture to make himself known on the road. And for me, this is one of the most precious things of this whole encounter, that it's Jesus himself that takes them through the Scripture to give them the evidence or the proof, if you like, of all that's happened to him. Jesus uses what we would call or know as the Old Testament to show that his suffering and resurrection were strikingly foretold by the prophets hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But for me, it's not so much about individual prophecies concerning details of Jesus that are important, so much as grasping the overarching story of Scripture, the great story of God's people, which is being fulfilled in Jesus. That his story, the story of Jesus, becomes a story of his people, becomes our story. These Emmaus Road disciples have to relearn what it means to read Scripture in this way, so that they could grasp the significance of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. that its life-giving and this soul-transforming encounter and events of Easter that have happened in the last few days. Now today, we know much more than Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. We have more of Scripture. We have much more explicit Scripture that speaks of Jesus, his ministry, his life, his death and resurrection. We too can encounter Jesus. We can know the risen Lord through his word, the Bible. Jesus today is still speaking through the words of Scripture. And they're words that can become alive as we read them through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Become alive to us as followers, but also those who don't know Jesus. It's one of the reasons when I did the Easter poster, I put John 3:16 on there. If people are walking past noticing the cross that's outside, maybe they will notice those words as they pass the poster. Because I believe that Scripture is living and is still in the business of transforming lives today. But it is in the breaking of bread that these two disciples recognize Jesus. For me, it's the explaining of Scripture and the breaking of bread coming together which create the appropriate conditions to allow the blindness to be lifted and for them to see Jesus. I want us to think for a moment about the first meal in the Bible. When that first couple, Adam and Eve, took fruit and ate it. We're told in Genesis that their eyes were opened, but then they knew that they were naked. It was that moment that sin entered into our world. Death itself can be traced back to that moment of rebellion, and the whole creation is subsequently subjected to decay and death. But here now, Luke pens for us this first meal of the new creation. This new world, when we're told that this couple had their eyes opened, and this time they recognized Jesus for who he was. This meal marks the moment, or marks when the long curse has been broken. Death itself has been defeated. Jesus is risen, and the new creation is brimming with life and possibility. Jesus has gone through death, come out the other side, risen from the dead. And actually, for me, this road to Emmaus marks the beginning of this new creation and God's new world in all of its vibrancy and hope. We're told, or Luke tells us, that Jesus takes and he blesses and he breaks and he gives. And those four verbs are the same sequence of verbs that are used not only in Luke's account of the feeding of the 5,000, but there are also those four same verbs in that order is seen in Luke's account of the Last Supper, which leads many people to liken this entire Emmaus Road experience to the celebration of communion that we have today. We unpack Scripture before we come around God's table, and then we gather, invited by Jesus himself to his table. As we celebrate through the bread and the cup, it is a very visual reminder of the entire gospel message. The breaking of bread quickly became part of a symbolism for Jesus' followers, particularly if you read in the book of Acts. So today, we too are invited to find Jesus and to know him in this breaking of the bread. Scripture and sacrament, word and meal are joined together. It is when we gather in the name of Jesus as his people together. It is when we come and gather around the table and participate in communion together. It is the gathering body of Christ in this time and this place, in a small, tiny part of God's kingdom and his world today. Though not physically present as he was in the Emmaus Road encounter, we as Jesus followers dare to believe that Jesus is here and among us now through his Spirit, living with us and in us, particularly as we break bread. Here for me is a beautiful expression of the relationship between the faith that we bring and the act of communion. That is why communion is one of the most significant parts of our services week in, week out. You know, I always think when I come to a communion service, no matter what else happens in the service, I'm okay because we're doing communion. And communion is powerful and it speaks for itself. And so as we come to this table now, we pray that our eyes will be opened, so that like those Emmaus disciples, Jesus will be made known in the breaking of bread. These elements, the bread and the cup, are not simply a reminder of the past and all that happened. But every time that we partake, and millions of Christians around the world partake in the act of communion in the present, we are also proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again, in other words, in the future. That celebration of the past brought into the present and pulling into the future. All of these things fuse together in this one act that we are about to share together. This road to Emmaus experience doesn't end with the breaking of bread. As soon as these disciples realize who they have been with, Jesus, they joyfully rush back to Jerusalem to share the good news of Jesus. Another 7 miles back to Jerusalem on the same dusty road as evening begins to set and the day draws to a close. But actually, as you read the encounter, we can see that there is an eagerness for them to share the joy that they have experienced. As we read this whole encounter, it seems to me that Luke tells it in such a way as to help us to put ourselves into it. As we reflect here and now on our own lives, I wonder how often we rush by failing to notice that Jesus is present, waiting to reveal himself to us in our lives. We hurry past God, who is walking 3 miles an hour, and miss his revelation to us in our lives and in our church. So what do we need to do to be more aware of Jesus' presence among us, in us, around us, and beyond us? I wonder whether we need to stop long enough to be able to listen, somehow to curb the busyness, to pan down, cramming in more things. It might mean deleting some really good things in order to receive the best that Jesus has for us, adjusting our lives to make space for him and his call. But we too are invited to have our hearts burning within us as fresh truths are revealed through the pages of Scripture, God's Word, the Bible. Reading or rereading the Bible should bring together not just our heads, but also our hearts. We're seeking to understand Scripture, but also to apply it to our lives. We need to learn or relearn, thinking and reading about God's story and seeing Jesus in it, seeing our world and all it needs in it. Not reading scripture in the way that our culture might try to make us, but actually thinking and reflecting the way that God has sketched it out. We only fully understand Jesus himself when we fully see him in the pages of scripture, seeing that actually Jesus is the one for whom the whole of scripture points, not just isolated verses and passages, but the entire flow of the whole of scripture is about Jesus. And it seems to me that when we truly grasp this and grasp it on a daily basis, then our hearts too will burn within us. But lastly, we who have heard God's word, we who have shared around the Lord's table, recognized Jesus in our midst, we too are called to go and share. To go and share our faith this week. To share the deep-rooted joy that Jesus brings. To love our neighbor and to do everything that Jesus commanded to do. In the same way that Jesus journeys with us, we are called to journey with others, to help them to see their story caught up in God's story. This fantastic story of Jesus' death and resurrection that we have to proclaim as his disciples today. Let's capture something of the eagerness of these disciples as we go from this place and this table to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.